Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in hour number two, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. This is Dave Romero. Next to me, Tomas Mauricio.
This is Tomas
Mauricio. On the board, Wesley Coleman, man. Hey, I got a little love shack on my mind right now.
Yeah,
we over there messing around during the break, come up with this, and now I'm distracted. You know how hard it is for me to keep focused on anything, much less...
That's not what I heard, but that's okay.
Much less this whooping that we put on. Falcons hate week wasn't even fun, man. The week was too short.
It was fun for me.
Thursday.
I got to talk to all my Falcons fans before and after. They didn't want to talk to me after.
No. I got a good...
Before, they were full of you-know-what.
I have a Falcons fan friend, and I mean, we're good friends, and he is a diehard. I haven't talked to him since he came to the SEC to watch the Super Bowl with a whole bunch of friends. And, I mean, you want to talk about, like, because he's my buddy and because he's so arrogant and so, man, he was so – you could just see his, I mean, soul being ripped out of – I mean, it was horrible. I felt for the guy. But if you remember, that year, because of that game, I won that Pick'em League. Yeah. And I won like $2,000.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you couldn't talk – I couldn't even be happy because this guy was so upset.
Dave, I took an extra Tylenol today. Can you remind me what happened in that Super Bowl?
Well, the Falcons, if you remember, they went on to a big lead. What was?
Oh, okay.
What was it
28-3?
28-3. That's the number.
It
was 28-3. Yeah, you remember that?
And he was celebrating already. Arthur Blank was already on the sideline at that point.
And he was warming up, man. He was going to do his dances and stuff. Yeah. And he was skipping some rope. He was doing some shadow boxing, trying to get loose.
He was elevating his neck to hold his nose up. But go ahead.
Rotating his neck. Shrugs. No, I didn't get it.
What? And just to be clear, the Falcons have still never won a Super Bowl, right?
No. And matter of fact,
no, they have a ring. Have a ring? Did you know they have a ring?
No. What ring was that?
Well, they even built a new dome just to emphasize it.
Yeah,
the new dome, it's called the anal sphincter.
Is it called that?
That's right, because it can't always close all the time. They can't quite.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's move along.
It was
here.
Above him, Wesley. I mean,
it had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with anything going on in my head. Just sometimes you just have to.
Keep order here. Keep order, I said.
I just have to keep you guys under control. Good thing Heath's not here, because when y'all start getting wild and when you bring Wesley in, it's just all of you just completely out of control.
Is that what it is?
So.
Well, you know the difference between Popeyes and Atlanta Falcons, don't you?
No, I don't. Tell me.
Well, yeah, Popeyes at least has rings.
Nice. No. Onion rings. At least they got them.
They got rings. Huh?
Well, and okay, so earlier, early Wesley was going over the social media stuff that he found. Well, one of the things that I found was go and read some of the Atlanta Falcons message boards. And these guys are completely terrified because the Super Bowl's in Atlanta. It's in the sphincter you talked about.
The sphincter dome, yeah.
And they are terrified the Saints are going to come in there and play and potentially win a Super Bowl. They will never hear the end of it.
Not only that, but the NFC team is the home team. So they will actually be in the Atlanta Falcons dressing room.
I mean, they will defile that room.
Yeah.
You know they will. They will.
I mean,
All right. So we did earlier in the first hour.
Yeah.
We did the good. And now it's time for the bad ugly. Again, another week where I'm not sure what we can come up with for bad ugly in a Saints win on a Thursday. Because, Thursdays, man, it's hard. You're not the same team on Thursdays as you are when you get a full week. Now, we play Dallas on Thursday, but we've had a full week to prepare and to get rested. Which, listen, we have a little stretch run, right? Four games. We got Pittsburgh, we got Carolina twice, and we got Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Thing is, Saints are getting a mini bye week.
That's right. After the Dallas game, mm-hmm. then we get 10 days off.
Right. So
a little time to heal up.
A little time to rest. You know, we talked about Teron Armstead.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, Wesley, I want to ask you this question. I'm going to get Tomas's input on it. Armstead has a history of being injured. When healthy, he's probably second best player on the Saints team. And most people don't recognize that because he's an offensive lineman. But he's arguably the second best player on the Saints team.
I'd say third best.
We need him. But, okay, he's a very important piece.
Oh, absolutely.
So, my question to you is, he's out injured. He's supposed to return. If, let's say, the Saints lock up which, you know, with Carolina losing, we're going to lock up that the division.
And
NFC South.
Right.
So let's say, and I'm stumbling here as I try to figure out the how to word the question. If Teron Armstead could come back after the Dallas game.
Yeah, for Tampa Bay.
And play four games and be 85%, would you rather him play or would you prefer that he sits out and, let's say, just gets one more game, let's say the last game of the season, just to get some reps before we obviously get a bye for the playoffs?
If the doctors are saying that he's not going to make the injury worse, if he's just got to put up with pain, he's been proven to have a high pain tolerance. We've seen him block and run over people and then limp back to the huddle. He did that for a couple of years.
Yes.
So if it has to do with pain tolerance, I would say let's put him out there. If we're talking about there's a chance of re-aggravating and making him actually miss games that come to the playoff run, I want him to be at least 90% healthy, and because winning the division is not the goal here. And I would like for us to stay undefeated, not lose any more games in the rest of the season, so we can lock up home field advantage. But we just can't afford to not have him in the playoffs for sure.
All right, Tomas, same question.
Well, to me, I look at it this way. There are a couple of other pieces to the puzzle that I would look at. Number one, at this point in time, I would rather wait. Now, you can't wait till the playoffs because you got to knock some of that rust off. But at the same time, Wesley and I were talking about this. Who are you going to let go? You're going to bring people in? Who are you going to let go? We got Brandon Marshall coming back, right? We got Ted Ginn coming back. And now you're talking about Armstead. Well, that's three players. Okay, so Ola goes. Okay. Ola. You know?
Ola.
But then you still have two players that you have to talk about. You can't cut any of the wide receivers because none of them will stay on the practice squad. Okay. So to me, the other guy you cut is Washington, the running back. All right, now you're down to one. So to me, I'm holding off. I have, no matter what, where he is, 85, 90, whatever, wherever he is, I don't play him until the last two games, the Steelers game and the Panthers game. And then I'm going to watch him carefully. I'll put him on the number, you know. Okay, you're going to play.
Snap count.
Yeah, you know, you're going to play 30 snaps, and then after that, you're done. You know, so, and about that same time, I'm going to bring Brandon Marshall in. I'm not going to bring him back in until I need him.
Mm-hmm.
Last two games. So there you have it. That's my two
cents. Okay. So basically what I'm hearing is Wesley thinks that as long as it's a pain tolerance thing that we're fine. You think that he needs about two games worth of snaps. Now, and depending on how the games go, because if the Saints continue to play like they're playing and you're cruising, Jerron
Bushrod
has played well. He's played solid. He's been an adequate backup. I mean,
finally got the right word.
I stumbled to the right word. I watched the game. I've watched it three times, actually. My first impression was, man, Bushrod is doing fine. We don't even miss Armstead. Then if you watch the game closer, you realize that Drew Brees has outstanding pocket presence. And while Bushrod is adequate and he stays between his man and he doesn't let free runners, having said that, he's not stalemating guys. He's not dominating guys, which I guess nobody's expecting. But having said that, if you run up against a good pass rusher, they're going to give the Saints problems if Bushrod's in there.
Right. Well, and you got to be. That's why I'm a little bit worried about the Pittsburgh game, because Pittsburgh does have two good edge rushers, you know. And so, you know, the Watts boy, he's really coming on strong, just like his brother is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that would be something for me to watch. But like I said to you, even, you know, follow up on Wesley, even with pain tolerance, I'd rather see him just practicing, and then the last two games come in and do what he wants, you know, get him back.
All right. So before we run out of time in this segment, I kind of procrastinated. We got to do the bad and ugly.
All right,
Wesley,
what you got?
Hey, I was going to tell you, too, the ESPN put up a poll today. So far as just under 50,000 votes.
Okay.
And it says, who is your NFL MVP? Jared Goff has 5% of the vote.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes has 30% of the vote.
That's a lot. That's 35 total.
And Drew Brees has 65%.
Good
God,
man. There's the rest of it.
There it is, buddy.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
This is on Twitter. This is national ESPN. This isn't a local thing. I mean, that's pretty nice. People are really starting to realize what's going on.
When I saw that, Wesley, the first thing that went through my mind is I thought it was just a local poll. And then once I realized it wasn't, I was really impressed. I was surprised. Well, let's get to it. Wesley, give me your bad ugly.
Yeah, I had to say that we talked about last week how impressed I was with how we've turned around third down conversions this year. And this week we were 5 for 11. Thought we had some questionable kind of calls on third down. Some of the play calling, I realized we won 31-17, and actually the game seemed a lot worse than that with their trash touchdown. But I think this game could have been way worse for the Falcons. Also, after the first quarter, you know, seeing Kamara, he was averaging like 13 yards a carry when we just run him up the middle.
Yeah.
I really thought he was going to have 160 yards by the end of the game. We just it seemed like something that we could have even more exploited there.
Yep. And, I lost my could have fantasy had a 40 because burger. Of him. Yep.
All right, Tomas.
What you got, Tomas?
Well, I'm going to go. It's really hard when Wesley comes up with these hard numbers and statistics. You know, I got to go on the soft end here. Now, I enjoy watching these games. I enjoy listening to a really astute commentator making some good comments. But in this particular game, I got sick and tired of hearing, you know, we had to hear the same thing. Oh, Kansas City. Now, by the way, there was one of the commentators that there's no doubt he is a Saints hater. You know what I'm talking about?
Dungy?
Yeah, would be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and why? Oh, because we beat his poor little Colts, even though he wasn't there anymore, but it was just still his team. And I think he's carried it across. So he can't say one good thing about the Saints. Constantly talking about everything else but the Saints. So I'm a little upset that the Saints aren't being respected by the commentators. Now, I have no problem with other commentators, all these other meatheads on all the shows, talking about how it's still the Rams, it's Kansas City, and watch out for the Patriots, and Dallas is going to sneak up. And great. Put the target on everybody else's back. I'm okay with that. But when I'm listening to the game, I would like to hear some good comments. You know? As much as Tony Romo talks too much, at least Tony Romo will give you some good calls. You know? So that would be my bad and ugly right there.
All right. Well, mine, and I don't know if this is the right context, but I guess maybe it's more made me nervous than bad, ugly, is I mentioned it in the first hour. The Saints gave up a lot of plays and were bailed out by turnovers. And it makes me a bit nervous when we're playing a team like the Falcons, and I know you can argue, and I would agree with you if you did, that's why they're a bad team. It's not that they don't have good players. The Falcons have Julio Jones and Ridley on the other side, a good running back. You know, we like to pick on them, but Matt Ryan is a very good quarterback. And their offense in general is very good. But, man, I tell you, there were some things that if we don't make big plays, we're in a position where they're scoring points. And, again, Ridley had a fumble in the second half that Lattimore got beat, recovered, forced a fumble right at the goal line. And then earlier in the game, and right before halftime, Julio Jones is going in, making a big play. It was somewhere around the 10-yard line. If nothing else, they were in goal to go. They could have at least got a field goal out of it. And Lattimore sends Julio Jones spinning.
Anzalone. Anzalone hits him.
Yeah, oh, that's true. And well, he puts him in the air. Anzalone sends him spinning.
Right.
And causes another fumble. Man, those plays in particular could have turned the game because it was a situation where Atlanta's down. If they score and then they get the ball back, because this, again, there was less than 30 seconds on the clock when this happened. Atlanta gets the ball back, and you could talk about a potential 10-point swing. So, and this is kind of what happened in the Rams game, if you remember.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up to you. I was going to bring up to you that we didn't score 40 points. We only scored 30 points, right?
Right.
So, had they scored, you know, we would have come back down the field, put another 7 up, another. Remember, we left a lot of points on the field. And I don't really think we played with that kind of intensity at the end of the game, you know, like our friend Heath used to say, you know, about how take the foot off the accelerator.
Absolutely.
To kind of show what these Saints have done over the last 8 weeks. 8 weeks earlier, we played the same Falcons team. Yeah, they had the injuries back then. They have the injuries now. But it's the same Falcons team. They scored 20 more points and had almost 170 more yards of offense in the game. I think that's the credit to what the Saints have done differently versus the same opponent from 8 weeks earlier.
Well, the thing that I would say about, you know, I'm criticizing, but I and I've said it throughout the whole show. Thursday night, you're not going to see an accurate reflection of who your team is and who any team is on a Thursday night game. There are just too many variables. You don't have enough time to prepare. You don't have enough time for proper evaluation. And most importantly, you don't have time for recovery. Again, it's a train wreck over and over and over playing football. And then 4 days later, you go do it again. There are guys who are still trying to barely get out of bed on Thursday morning, and they're expected to go play a football game. Now, sometimes you have veterans, man, a 34-year-old guy, that 32, Drew Brees. Man, you know, like it's Saturday before they're ready to play a game. So this puts them in a position where, you know, so as much as I'm criticizing, I'm also saying, man, you're never going to get an accurate reflection when you sit there and look at things on Thursday night. So I like my Thursday night football. I like to have football 4 days a week. Is that right? Monday, Sunday, Thursday? Yeah, four. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it. But, you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go. Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio on the board, Wesley Coleman, and we're getting the Saints train rolling.
Yes, sir.
But right now, it's the thing that everybody waits for. It's the reason you tune in.
Absolutely.
Maybe not last week.
Why not? I got some positive feedback on my airflow comments.
Did you?
Yeah.
A lot of Twitter stuff, right?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, how can we find you on Twitter if we want to give some more comments about your airflow?
I'm always happy to hear comments. It's at Tomas19.
All right. Well, mine's at SaintsBS. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, we love to have you guys following us, talking Saints football. That's what we do. Love doing it. So please, if you're on Twitter, give us a follow. Let's talk some Saints football.
Absolutely.
But without further ado, it's one of those things that you wait for all the time. You got to give them what they want.
Yes, sir.
That's why they show up.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That's going to mean anything to me. It's going to blow. It's going to blow. My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Indubitably.
Now, I have to tell you, last week, I thought I had a pretty good rant. Now, a lot of people here in the studio were like, eh.
What?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But I thought it was pretty good. And the feedback I received on my Twitter, Tomas19, it was fantastic. Everybody enjoyed the airflow comments. Now, I'm going to follow up on that this week. Because, you see, I made those comments about how we needed to impact the kicker for the opposing team. That we needed a good HVAC engineer out there to make sure that wind tunnel gets pointed right down at that tee. Now, I'm going to follow up, like I say, with our special team. Now, we have currently on our team the absolute highest rated kicker in the National Football League. That's who we have as our kicker. It has been a long time since we actually have said, field goal, no problem, bring them on. And so I would like to keep it that way. Now, I know that Peyton has been worried about the situation with the special teams. Because we have not one coach, not two coaches, not three. We got like four freaking coaches for special team, including do or do not. There is no try. You know, Yoda. And so I have a problem. Yoda. Listen up, brother. You're supposed to be the mystic. You're supposed to be the guy who has all the answers. You're supposed to be training, you know, these Jedis. And you let me down. Let me explain myself, if I might. Last time I checked, Dave, aren't there 11 people on a special team unit when we kick off.
Usually.
11 men on the field. Now, one of those men is our kicker. He should be the last line of defense. That's what he should be. Not the guy that we depend on to make the tackle. Yet, in this game against these Atlanta Falcons, we, time after time, we kick off, and who's making the tackle? Will Lutz makes the tackle. That's Will Lutz making the tackle. Tackle by Will Lutz. What the Hades is going on? Now, I know we've got some good players on that special teams unit, but I, it's inexplicable. Now, come this week, we have the injury report. And what do I see on the injury report? Will Lutz, back. Are you kidding me? Dude, in the final push and during the playoffs into the Super Bowl, we need our kicker. May I remind you that the last time we went to the Super Bowl, it was our kicker who provided that cushion that we needed, making field goals over 40 yards consecutively. Bing, 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 bing. Now we have Mr. Lutz, an excellent, I'm telling you, he's the top of the line in NFL right now as a kicker. We can't afford for him to say, who's going to kick in his place? You tell me. Now, I know who will kick in his place. You know, it'll be the Swiss Army Blade. It'll be Taysom. He'll be out there practicing, you know, kicking field goals. But let's be serious, man. Come on. There is no reason, none, to have Will Lutz tackling anybody. He should kick the ball and then stand back and go, man, that's a work of art. That's what you should do. And we have all these other players. They need to get down there. Stay in your line. Don't be running all over the damn place. I don't care about pictures. Look, I'm done with pictures. Brothers, we have to stop taking pictures. It was cute. It was nice. Fired us up. Let's stop all that crap. It's time for us to get serious. We're coming down to the end of the season. Do you really want the Dallas Cowgirls to beat us? Are you serious? Now, Wesley's trying to distract me with the T-shirt that he put on. He's laughing. I read it already. I have real boobs, but that's okay. He has fake ones.
I see that.
Yeah.
Well, he loves them is what he's saying.
Well, apparently. I like a real woman. But in any case, let me not get distracted by these people. We should not lose any more games. We saw what the Steelers did. Hey, the Steelers, you know what? They have weaknesses. Gosh, imagine that. The Scamthers. Yeah, the Scamthers are done, man. Come on. We can beat that. We should be able to just run the table. But only if we have a special teams unit that plays at the same level as our offensive players and our defensive players. I'm very, very happy to say that, man, our defensive line is coming around. Shimmy Shake is doing a great job over there. Davenport is going to be, you know, doing something as we go forward. We have the best offensive line out there. I don't care what. What's his name? Lawrence, whatever the hell his name is. Over in Dallas.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Sack artist. Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
We'll get to it. But what I'm saying to you is this. We just need to get all three together at the same. Dude, we wouldn't be scoring 30. We wouldn't be scoring 40. And as long as Sean Payton gets pissed off and does not take his foot off the pedal, we'll score 60. I would love to see 60 points hung up on the Dallas Cowgirls. So, there you go. I don't want to see Will Lutz hitting anybody anymore. That's my rant for today.
All right. Well, you again, you hit the post. We've got the music playing. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to do our NFC South report and some NFL talk. We'll be right back.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast. standing up for people.
BS and beer.
Indeed you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and beer.
BS and beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman on the board and providing some insight statistical analyses. You like that? I made that up on the fly right there.
Apparently.
Hey, now it's time for the NFC South report. Tomas, you know you always like to give us that good in-depth NFC South stuff. Wesley, you had some stuff too. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to let you guys talk NFC South football. I'll chime in when I have something interesting to say.
All right, well, let's start with the Cellar Dwellers.
The Cellar Dwellers. Yeah. That'd be Tampa Bay.
The Tampa Bay
the team that put the whooping on us, the only blemish on our record, yeah. Tampa Bay gave it to us. At home.
Yeah, well, you know, things happen. But what I'm going to say to you is this. I believe that the current quarterback, the first-round draft choice, you know, Mr. Crab, King Crab Legs himself, he'll be gone. I think this will be his last season with Tampa Bay. And out the door with him will be his coach, Cotter. I think Tampa Bay will have a new head coach and a new quarterback, among some other changes. What do you think there, Wesley?
Well, I agree that Tampa Bay is going to be replacing probably some players and some coaches. I'm not sure which other Atlanta Falcons coach they're going to bring in next to replace the current ones. I will say I could see that Carolina might be also shopping for a new coach. North Turner, offensive coordinator, may finally get a chance to be a head coach again, which is great for us because we know we don't have to worry about him ever winning a playoff game. But Riverboat Ron and old Donkey Face over there.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, it's a pretty sad thing for some players like Keekly and even McCaffrey. I mean, that guy's ultra talented. I know a lot of people thought he was going to come to the Saints in the draft if he fell that far. But Cam Newton still can't throw 60% of his passes complete. And I don't know, Riverboat Ron is just that used to be a cute nickname, I guess, but it's just completely ridiculous now.
No. Well, they have talent. There's no doubt that Carolina has talent. It's just that, you know, at some point, as I've said before, for every team, when they get to that window, you only have a couple of years with that window. Keekly, great player, but now he's been hurt, you know, and his age catches up with him, and then he doesn't have the surrounding players. Remember, the other guy has got playing linebacker. He's already blown that knee three times, four times. I don't remember how many times he's blown that knee. So I think that it could well be that, and I agree with you, Wesley. I think North Turner is going to get a chance.
Is there a case to be made that A.J. Klein's having a better season than Luke Kuechly right now?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, an argument.
Who would have thought that?
No, right? I don't think many people would agree with this, but I think that you can definitely make an argument. Klein is having a great season. So now, is he a better player? No, absolutely not. Is he having a better season?
I'm saying that.
I think is, you know, you can make that argument.
Yeah, I think he's in a better defensive scheme. And I think that because of that, he's having a better season. So,
now, are there any other teams in the NFC South?
Well, they got the old Falcons.
The Falcons. Oh, yeah.
And do you see any changes coming in the Falcons?
You know, I think that it might have been like a kiss of death with the owner coming out and saying that everything's fine. It's not the coach's fault.
Yeah.
I don't know whose fault it thinks he is. He can't get rid of his quarterback that he's just paying $30 million a year to. They just re-upped more with Julio, giving him more money when he was already one of the highest paid receivers. I'm not sure who he's going to blame and what they're going to do. Actually, I hope he thinks everything's fine. Let's keep rolling them out there next year.
I don't know. The old kiss of death, you know, is coming out and saying your coach, he's fine. You know, what do you call that? They have a saying for that. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But
well, he might be saying that the head coach is fine. You know, and he might be saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to sit down with my head coach and say, hey, I got to have some heads roll here. I'm not sold on their offensive coordinator, you know, the recovering alcoholic. I'm just, You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Sarkeesian.
Yeah, Sarkeesian.
This season isn't going to help him.
No, not at all. Not at all. Man, I'm telling you. I don't want to talk bad about him because, I mean, God bless him. I hope he is recovering and he stays that way. But truly, I just don't see the offensive philosophy that he has out there with the talent that they have. You know, they have no running backs at this point. And so maybe that's where they're going to go is, you know, get some running backs and change the offensive coordinator. And maybe that'll make a difference for them. But
there's so much talent there. It seems like that's an offense that even Jason Garrett could make some plays out of.
You would think so.
Yeah, okay, funny guy. Yeah, I don't know what Jason Garrett's going to do with – I don't know. How does that – the only reason that guy has a job in Dallas is because he's one of the few guys that'll actually accept having an owner like Jerry Jones who'll just basically take his needs out from under him and undermine him. And there aren't many coaches. Everybody talks about Sean Payton returning to Dallas, and that's always kind of a thing. There's no way in the world Sean Payton would ever go to Dallas and coach.
Had to put up with Jerry
Jones. Yeah, it never happened. It'd be worse than what's it, Jimmy Johnson. You want to talk about a guy in a perfect situation. It's with the Saints where, for the most part, Mickey Loomis, Sean Payton, complete full reign of the team without very much – you know, meddling from the owner. And right. Obviously now, even worse, now that Benson's passed away,
right.
That basically they run the team. I mean, it just couldn't be a better match.
Right. Right.
Dave, I've got breaking news.
Oh, breaking no.
News.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Okay.
I've heard that Jason Garrett kisses the ring every time he's told to, without question.
Have you? That's the breaking news? Yeah, I think that news has been out for a while, buddy. That's like watching those cable news networks where breaking news about something that happened yesterday.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right.
Well, I would tell you, I think also the situation in Dallas is just like in Cincinnati. You know? They're cheap. And so then I'm going to pay. Sean Payton would never end up in Dallas because he would say, first of all, this is how much money I need.
Right.
Which Jerry Jones would go, And then he'd say, and Jerry, you got to stay the hell out of my field, out of my locker room. You know, Marvin Lewis, God bless him. You know, Cincinnati doesn't want a championship team. They just want to be competitive. And Marvin Lewis is a cheap coach. They pay him very little. Now, of course, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
I have it on a very good source.
Oh, boy.
That.
Oh, boy.
The new coach for Cincinnati Bengals has just been hired to be on the team.
Uh-oh.
And that would be one Hugh Jackson. And Marvin Lewis is going to be kicked upstairs. Hugh Jackson is going to say, just give me a chance. I'll coach for free. And so, of course, the ownership's like, absolutely, that's the kind of paycheck we like to write.
Yeah, that's the kind of, never happened.
Are they going to hire Todd Haley as their offensive coordinator?
Probably.
I mean, the thing about it is, those guys, I mean, they just have no pride. And if you want to know what's wrong with the Browns, just look now and see what's going on. They finally get rid of Hugh Jackson. And all of a sudden, the team is playing a lot better. I mean, that Browns
breaking
team.
News, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Just in from an unverified source, Greg Williams is going to win at least half the games he's got left, and he will be named the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns for next year.
You like that?
There you go.
You like that? Okay, he's making these strong breaking news.
What do you think about that, Wesley?
I like it. I was looking today, and since Hugh Jackson got fired, Baker Mayfield is number two in the NFL in passer rating behind
Drew Brees.
The go-to goats.
Right. Speaking of Drew Brees.
Crazy, though. Rookie quarterback that was losing a bunch of games is number two in the NFL because Hugh Jackson left.
Yeah. Hey, since we're talking about Drew Brees, his second interception. He has his second interception of the season this past game.
Illegitimate.
And Tomas does not accept it.
Nope. It's like those people standing at the supposed wall.
Okay.
Illegals.
Oh, geez.
I think that there was a couple of possible penalties there.
Wesley just went right over it.
Before the pass was thrown, there was a holding.
Yep.
There was a pass interference.
Yep.
There was an illegal tackle.
Yep.
There was a put them up against the wall and spread them. I don't know. There was all kinds of stuff going on there. But all I know is our receiver was laying on the ground with a guy on top of him before the ball even got there.
Yeah, look, he has two interceptions. I mean, that's still amazing Based on what Wesley said about the ESPN poll, I think America agrees Drew Brees is the it should be the MVP, unless barring something crazy, there's still games left to play. But that call, it was amazing that they didn't get a call on that play. Yeah. I would still love to see Drew Brees. This is probably more of something just personal, you know, just like, golly, I'd like to see him. But there's just no way. One interception is amazing to begin with.
Two is amazing for an entire season.
Yeah, it's amazing. Having said that, when there's so few, like, look, there's always that tip ball. You say, that's not the quarterback's fault. Or the ball that hits the receiver's hands and bounces out and gets interception. That's not. There's always those. But knock on wood, there hasn't been. And so when he only has one, every one counts. So we're watching him, or watching the receiver run his route, get mugged, and it was Michael Thomas, and there's an interception, and you're just like, that shit. And even the commentators, you just complained about him. The commentators were saying that, man, he was held.
He's one of the commentators.
Well, what, the other guys disagreed, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't hear all that. But I did hear him saying
What's
that.
What's his name, the former player, Harrison?
Oh, Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, he was the one who said, "Oh man, he was mugged. That shouldn't have been in there." He definitely agreed with that.
Right.
But your favorite coach, Dungy, he was like, "Well, you know, yeah, okay, there you go."
Well, something about Dungy, and it's not just. I mean, they did the game, but when they do that Night in America, you know, whatever. Every time the Saints highlights come on, you could just tell he's like, "Nah," you know. It's like Saints win, you know, against the Rams, 58-10. You know, they got lucky. Yeah. It just wasn't that impressive.
Lucky for the Rams.
Yeah, Rams weren't playing. Or here's how the Rams beat themselves.
They didn't have Talib in there.
Exactly. Yeah. 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We're gonna have the My Bookie Picks of the Week.
He wakes up.
BS and Beer, a national institution since, it's a really cool show.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We're ready for that segment that we do, the MyBookie.com Picks of the Week.
That's right.
Call them. You win. You get paid. As a matter of fact, what is it, after 7 o'clock?
After 7, you make a deposit. They'll give you an extra $25.
Now, keep in mind, too, you tell them BS and Beer.
BS and Beer, yeah.
And they'll give you that extra money.
Right.
So,
right.
Tomas, listen, I don't know if you should be able to play. Wesley, I think we should just go me and you, Tomas. He played so well last week. Got all, what is, did you get 11 out of 13?
Yeah. And 11 out of 14.
I could see, look at his face a little. Yeah, happy guy. All right.
Well, don't we want all the listeners to hit it big? So maybe we should make sure he does.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, yeah. So y'all all listen to Tomas and see how that works out for you.
All you have to do is listen to the ones that I pick. Pick the same ones, and you'll have the same kind of score.
Wow, that was profound.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. You pick them, they pick the same thing, and they'll have the same score.
Right, because they listen to you. You see, and you go, I'm going the other way. That's why you get all those red X's, you see. But instead, if you say, well, you know, Tomas has a better grip on who's going to win and lose.
Mm-hmm. He has his finger on the pulse of the NFL public.
That's correct, as opposed to where Dave's finger is. But in
Tomas,
any case,
is there a Bitcoin back guarantee?
What's that now?
Is there a Bitcoin back guarantee?
Oh, absolutely. That's right. You know, we're going to set up that show. And once we do, you know, again, the first payment. It's simple. It's 0.030 Bitcoin. And then after that, it's 0.015. We cut it in half.
Cut in half.
And here's what I'm willing to do. If you follow what I'm telling you and you don't beat me, then I will refund you 0.001.
You see, Wesley, you got him started. Look, he's over there poking the bear with the stick and then sits back and starts laughing. All right, I see how it is.
Before we make our picks, I wanted to say one more thing.
Okay.
We have this other thing called
Perfect Challenge. Yeah, we don't talk about
it
enough. Yes.
And we don't talk about that enough times. But I know that a lot of people from our regular picks play it as well. So I just wanted to mention that the group is called BS and Beer PCast.
Mm-hmm.
And so on Perfect Challenge. And right now, there are 37 users, 37 players. I'm, of course, number 7. So again, if you just pay attention, on the big board, there's a New Orleans Saints fans
okay.
that has 357 followers on there. I'm number 34. I'm in the top percentage there.
Yeah.
So I know that there are a couple of people that follow us that are on here. For example, we've got BS and Beer Dave.
Hey, that's me.
Captain Cheesy is one I've heard before that we've done. So there are a couple. Cable Tonka is on here. So there are a number of people, you know, that they do both. So I just wanted to tell you, look, we're still playing that one, too.
We do play it. We don't talk about it enough. We have to start making that part of one of our segments so that people get in there. It's the, you know, we do the picks, but this is more of a fantasy thing.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, you get to pick your players, you know, decide who's your quarterback.
It's kind of interesting.
It's fun. It's fun. We'll start next year. I think we'll pay
more
attention.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our picks. Wesley, we're going to start out with the Ravens at the Falcons. It's an even game.
Ravens. For sure.
No. All right. Tomas?
Ravens. No doubt.
Ravens. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. Broncos at the Bengals. The Broncos are giving up. Man, the Broncos have been the Broncos are sneaky good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a better team than I give them credit for. They start off slow, so I figured they were going to just be really bad. They're playing pretty good football. -3.5. What do you say there, Wesley?
I'll take the Bengals over the Broncos.
All right.
Well, I'm going to go with Casey Keenum. You know, I'm going to go with the Broncos and give up the 3.5.
Well, I mean, I'd be a fool not to go with you, Tomas. So I'm going to pick the Broncos as well.
There you go.
Now
you learn.
I'm obedient. Rams giving up 10.5 points on the road to the Lions. What you say, Wesley?
The Lions are just horribly bad. The 10.5 is going to be covered.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with the Fighting Garys. I'm going to take the Lions and the 10.5 points at home.
Man.
Sorry, Gary.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams. I think they'll cover that. I don't know. It seems like the Lions might just be rolling up the tents and just calling it a day.
You never know.
You never know, but that's why they play the games. Now, the Cardinals +15 at the Packers. Packers are 15-point favorites. I don't think the Packers are that good. What you say, Wesley?
Arizona's bad, but what has Green Bay done to be a 15-point favorite over anybody?
Agreed.
I will take those points and take the Cardinals.
I will take the Hebrew Hammers and the 15 points.
Well, I got to go with what Tomas says, so I'm going to go with the Cardinals myself. Now it's the Bills at the Dolphins. The Dolphins giving up 5 points at home. What you say, Wesley?
I will take the Miami Dolphins at home.
Okay.
I just don't know. These Finns don't really get me. And the Bills seem to be coming on, especially with Josh Allen. I'm going to take the Bills in the 5 points.
Okay.
Did you learn your lesson?
I'm going to go with what Tomas. No. And I'm taking the Dolphins. I'm off that Tomas bandwagon.
All right.
Wesley, we got the Bears at the Giants. No line. Not sure what that's all about. It's obvious that the Bears are a better team. We might have a free pick right there. What you calling?
I think that Khalil Mack's going to give Eli Manning some nightmares, and I need the Bears to start building some confidence so they can beat the Rams for us.
Agreed. Tomas.
Yes, sir. I don't know why it's no line, but it's Bears.
Okay. I'm going to do what Tomas says, and I'm going to go with the Bears myself.
Why don't you get out
of the bandwagon? Oh. Man, this is for that one pick.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now we're on to the Panthers.
Oh, big game.
At the Buccaneers.
There you go.
Buccaneers getting 3.5 points at home. What you say, Wesley?
I went back and forth on this because Carolina looks so bad in their secondary, but I think that they'll be able to cover and beat the Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Buccaneers because I think that Jameson has to realize by this point that he's got to start playing for next year's contract. You know, so I'm going to go with the Buccaneers at home and take the 3.5.
Be honest, I thought he would have realized that by now, but I'm going to pick the biting Jamesons, and I'm going to give up, or I'm going to take those 3.5 points.
Me too.
And go with the Buccaneers.
And the crab legs. There you go.
So the Colts at the Jaguars. The Jaguars giving up 4.5 points.
No, Jaguars get 4.5.
At home. Sorry about that. Thank you very much. So what do you say? The Colts have been playing better ball.
The Colts are hot. Andrew Luck looks great. Blake Bortles is complete trash right now.
They benched him.
They benched him.
Yeah,
and Fournette is suspended this game too.
That's right.
That's correct.
Okay, well, so
that's an easy pick for me, Colts.
Well, I'm going with what Tomas says, and I'm gonna pick the Colts. Yeah, well, you got there. The catalyst that makes that team go it's become obvious that it's Fournette
from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but he's been injured all year, and they played like garbage all year. So, I'm gonna go with the Colts. Now we have the Browns at the Texans. I got to tell you, man. That's actually a pretty good game, man. That's a pretty good game. Wesley.
You guys just heard me tell you, Drew Brees is the only quarterback in the NFL better than Baker Mayfield right now. The stats prove it. Going with the Browns.
Are you? Okay. See, he doesn't do that thing where he tries to trick you like you do, Tomas.
No, well, I can't trick you because I have to tell you, the Browns are the team to watch out right now.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the Browns.
Okay. Listen.
And my 4.5.
The Browns, they got Baker Mayfield playing great quarterback right behind Drew Brees. They got rid of the cancer that was their head coach.
Yep.
They are doing everything right.
And the offensive coordinator was their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, an offensive coordinator. Yep. So the obvious choice, the Texans, is who I'm taking -4.5 points. All right. Yeah, the Texans are playing ball, man, last night or Monday night.
Well, Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback, and J.J. Watson is playing lights out.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like he's a huge man that can't be blocked. It's crazy. Okay, Jets at the Titans. The Titans on Monday night got the brakes beat off of them, giving up 10.5 points. Who's it going to be? Wesley.
This might be like the toilet bowl of the week, but I think that the 10.5 points is way too much for Tennessee to get. I'll take the Jets.
Okay.
Well, the irrelevant Titans have become irrelevant again.
Again, yes.
And so, and I agree with Wesley. I don't know who's saying 10.5 points. There's just no way. So I take the Jets, and the 10.5.
You know what? I'm going with what Tomas says, and I'm going to take the Jets myself because the Titans they're just not that good. Yeah. And 10.5 points, I mean, at some point they might score maybe 20, 24 points, something like that, and the Jets are going to score there 12, 15, whatever, and have just enough, kick a field goal. They're going to cover that spread. Yep. So let's move on to the mighty Chiefs going to the putrid Raiders. And I'm looking at 15.5 points the Raiders are getting at home. Wesley?
I normally think that 15.5 is way too much for an NFL
right?
game, but this may not be enough. I'm definitely taking the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Every time I take the Raiders, they lose. Every time I don't take them, they win. My dad's favorite team. And I believe that Carr realizes that he'll be out of a job next year. I don't see him back with the Raiders next year. So it could well be that the Raiders – come from nowhere, take those 15.5 points and close the gap. But at the end of the day, I got to go with the Chiefs and give up the 15.5.
All right, yeah, I'm doing what Tomas says. Just quite frankly, the Raiders, terrible. They'll be lucky to score. I mean, now that you're watching Cooper play in Dallas,
you realize
he's a much better player. I don't know what was going on with him in with the Raiders. And then Khalil Mack, I mean, that's just two players that they just, I don't want to say gave away because they got picks for them.
Yeah, I got three first-round draft choices, three second-round draft. I mean,
but they're playing in a way that you almost hope that your first-round draft pick plays that well. So, but anyway, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. Moving on, the Vikings at the Patriots. This is kind of crazy, but the Patriots giving up 7 points. I mean, the Vikings are a good team. I mean, what's that all about, Wesley?
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, the Patriots have been so inconsistent. I mean, they've lost to the Titans and the Lions this year. I will take the Vikings in that 7 points, and I actually think the Vikings win this game outright.
I disagree. I'm going to take the Patriots.
All right, but you know what? I'm going to go with the Vikings on this game. Now, the other one that we want to do real quick here, we've got Chargers at the Steelers, 3.5 points. The Steelers are giving the Chargers. Wesley?
I'll take the Bakersfield Chargers.
Okay.
I'll take the Steelers.
The Steelers. All right, the big game of the week, the Saints. And the Dallas Cowboys, the Saints, are getting 7.5 points at the Cowboys Stadium. What do you say, Wesley?
This will be our 9th home game of the season. I think that we double up the 7.5. I will give those points and take a Saints win.
Okay.
I'm in agreement. I think that the Saints are going to come out and they're going to play good Saints football because of all the talk that's coming from the other side. And because I believe that this team realizes that we're not playing for the NFC South Championship. We're not playing to get into the playoffs. We are playing to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And at the same time, have Drew Brees not only win the MVP of the Super Bowl again, but also win the MVP of the league, solidifying once and for all that he is a first-round Hall of Famer. Who dat?
All right. Well, I like that. I think that just after watching the Dallas game this afternoon, watching the Saints game too, the Saints are going to beat the brakes off of Dallas. Lawrence over there running his mouth about all this nonsense that Dallas Dallas isn't even in the same league. Dallas is barely on the second tier. And I think someone could argue that. They're not in the Saints league. If the Saints, if this game's even close, I would be amazed. So, to me, the Saints will probably – look, I want to believe that we're a little banged up with Teron Armstead out, so maybe the pass rush is a little bit more effective to slow down the Saints' offense than we would normally see. But when it's all said and done, they're going to be playing indoors. They're going to be playing on carpet. The Saints play fast. I just think that the Saints are going to run Dallas out of the gym. I just don't think they can handle it.
Well, I agree with you. Projections, any predictions?
I'm going to take the Saints in this one. I think the 7.5 is not enough points. In fact, I think we double that up. Easy win for the Saints. I'll give up the points.
For Tomas Mauricio and Wesley Coleman, working the board, working hard, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday. So don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, bye.